planning for time or planning for eternity. We are presented with a dilemma at the beginning of our text. One brother is possibly upset, I'm sure, because now that he's going to speak to a rabbi about this problem, I'm sure he's already tried to solve the problem on his own. But that's what we have. Possibly the father of these two sons has already passed away. And one of the sons, as we just read a few moments ago, he's a little impatient. Possibly. He's waited long enough. Maybe he has in mind what he wants to do with the inheritance. Maybe he, we don't know. You know, these are all things that you can think about. And I hope we do as we read God's word, that we read it slowly at times. But he wanted his part of the inheritance, and he wanted it now. This was a common thing for a problem like this, maybe not exactly like this, but would commonly be brought to a rabbi. And Jesus' response was not direct regarding the question or the topic, but it was not a change of subject either. It's amazing how Jesus taught as we read God's word and we read those powerful ways in which he would even teach by asking a question. Jesus took time to emphasize something greater. We might even say that he took time to emphasize a higher issue, something more important than the inheritance. Life is more than material good. The most important part of your life and mine is my relationship with God. I heard a preacher say today, we can be as close to God as we want to. And you know what? He's right. Because God has given us complete access to Himself through His Son. So I can be far from God, I can be close to God. Wherever you are today, I think I've said this before, and other maybe you've heard others say it, God never moves. The prophet, I think it was Malachi, said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. So if I'm not close to God today, it's not because God's walked away from me. If you're not close to God today, if you don't think you're close to God in an area of your life, that's between you and the Lord. I'm just saying it isn't because God stepped away. So then it would only leave one other individual involved, and that would be me or you that have stepped away. Jesus put his finger right on the heart of the questioner, right on the heart. We'll go through this in just a minute. But he said in verse 14, man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Again, a question, right? Really doesn't give an answer, but then he spins right into that and he says, hey, now notice he says, I like the words that first Jesus said it to the man, verse 14. So he's speaking right at him. But then verse 15 is more broader. Verse 15 says that he spoke to them. I don't know who them was totally, fully, but there was a crowd there. So now this is a teaching moment, a teaching opportunity. And he speaks to that in verse number 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things. Remember, this guy had said, I want my inheritance. Make my brother give it to me now. Obviously, Jesus could see right into this man's heart. You and I don't have that ability. to look in someone's heart, but Jesus can look into this man's heart. God knows my heart today. Many times we can know someone's heart, not necessarily completely, but by the way they live their life. By the way I live my life, by the way you live your life. This man spoke out of the abundance of the heart. What happens? The mouth speaketh. He spoke from his heart. He said, I want it and I want it now. And Jesus could see exactly what his motives were. And he says, it's not about what you have. Life isn't about what we have in material things. So my main question for us today is, are we planning for time? Or are we planning for eternity? Now, I will say this, and we're going to get some more into this as we go along, but we must not ignore time. But in a greater way, we must not ignore eternity. The certain rich man in our text clearly was concerned for time. Notice, if you will, at verse 19 again. This really jumped out at me. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many, what? Years. Years is time. Right? Months, weeks, days, years. This man was all set when it came to time. He looked at his bank account. He looked at his barns. He looked at whatever he had in his possession, and he said within himself, I'm ready for years. I mean, if everything goes kaput, I've got so much in store in this barns over here that I can just kick back and I can take it easy. I think that word years greatly challenged me. Many times within our world, time is more concerning than eternity. I looked up this week and found that there were some really rich people in our world that I had no idea were so rich for time. In fact, some of these people have so much money. By the way, money is not the problem. Let's remember that. Right? The love of money is the root of all evil, not money. But they have so much money that there's not enough time in their life to spend it. Literally. They could even call Brother Barry and myself and say, Brother Barry, or they probably wouldn't call you brother, would they? They'd say, Barry and Ben, the killer bees. Look, we got so much money over here. Could you guys help us just spend this for the rest of your life? And I don't even think we could spend it all. Some of you like thinking, yeah, I think I could help them. We're talking about not just 1 billion, not just 10 billion, not 50 billion. We're talking $100 billion. Now, that's what they're worth. They may not have that much cash. You see, time for them, I mean, they've worked hard. They, you know, God gave them a brain to figure out how to do certain things, and they've made a lot of money. But the problem is, time is secure, but what about eternity? I ask you that today. See, Pastor Turner, I don't have 1 billion, trust me. No, I'm not worried about how much you have, but are you preparing? What are you preparing the most for? No matter the stockpile of goods, my time, like the certain rich man, will come to an end. Eternity never ends. Time ends. Isn't it amazing how, you know, yesterday in our prayer meeting over here, how time-focused we are. I'm sitting on a chair ready to start the meeting at around 10 o'clock, and for all the time that we've been doing this, there's been a clock on the wall right here. Well, the clock got moved. I didn't know the clock got moved. And the clock got moved further back on the room to cover a hole in the wall. Because a bookshelf got moved and it revealed there was a hole there. So the natural thing to do is, hey, let's cover the hole with the clock. But you know what? I was sitting there in my seat and I'm looking and I'm like, oh, there's no clock. Panic began to set in. What time is it? I have my watch. That's right. The only day and time of the week that I really ever looked at that clock, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. One time a week, 172 hours. That's the only time. But it was gone, and I was like, oh, we got it. Where's the clock? I sent a message out to the group, a Facebook group chat with Metro and Anchor. Where's the clock? Where's the clock? You know, because got to be on time, you know. And that's another message. Be on time, right? But time ends. That clock will mean nothing in eternity for me. But if I plan for eternity, then eternity is going to be much better. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, "The greatest thought that ever occurred to me is that I must live somewhere forever." Eternity. Eternity. Time can be measured, right? We have a one-hour session. We have a whatever. It's measured. You have an eight-hour day or a 12-hour day or whatever hour day of work. It's measured. But eternity, you can't measure it. I mean, I even sit and I've been thinking about eternity. Can we really wrap our head around it? It's really difficult with my finite brain because I'm a time guy. So to think about something that has no way of measuring it is very challenging. Time will end, but eternity won't. Jesus tells us about a man in Luke 12 who the Bible says, or you would think, was a rich man. He had a lot, didn't he? But actually, I would submit to you this morning that this man was actually rich toward time, but he was very poor toward eternity. He didn't have a very good bankroll for eternity. He wasn't laying up any treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. He had a lot of treasure, but it was for time. And that was his focus, very clearly from this parable that the Lord Jesus says. The things that he had obtained would be of no help to him that night. If you look down quickly, the Bible says in verse 20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night." I actually spoke a message on that statement. So I don't remember when it was. Maybe it was last year. Sorry, my scrambled head here a little bit. But I remember speaking about that. And so it didn't matter that he had barn and barn and barn and barn. And God said, "This night, you're going to have to answer. Your soul is going to have to answer. And all of these things won't matter." The things we obtain will not help us the day that we die. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell when the clock will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To love one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Nothing in this life, materialistically speaking, nothing in this life will satisfy. Nothing. It reminds me of the story, not really a story, but if you can imagine, and I know I'm not saying Easter is about eggs and all of that, but this is the best way I can describe it, that, you know, you've got that chocolate egg. And you can just envision a young child, whether it be a boy or a girl, and you know they've got this. It's going to be delicious. It's going to be amazing. I've got this chocolate egg, and I mean, who wouldn't want to have some chocolate right now, right? And they even, you know, they can imagine they had chocolate before, and so it's going to taste really, really good. He unwraps the box that the chocolate egg is in, and preparation is coming, and you know, taste buds are salivating. earlier today, Ezra was talking to me about one time cooking a fish and eating it. And I said, boy, I'm hungry. We need some fish right now, don't we, Ezra? So, you know, your lips start salivating at chocolate, and that young person takes a giant bite out of that egg and is greatly saddened. Oh, there's chocolate there. The young person thought this was going to be a solid egg when it wasn't. It was one of those hollow eggs. Man, you know, that's really all the world has to offer. Looks really good. Oh, this is going to be really good. Whatever it is going to be really good. And then chomp. Guess what? It's hollow. It doesn't have anything of lasting value. It doesn't have anything to meet a need when we're in a difficult time. It doesn't have any way of helping us through a tragic situation. Many today in our world are grasping and at the sweet things of life, wealth, power, pleasure, possessions. Again, these are all based on time, and many times they are hollow. This man was called something very startling in verse number 20. He was called a fool. I don't recommend using that regularly, but we'll take the words of the Lord, won't we? The Lord says that a fool is someone who is more concerned with time than eternity. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the Lord. Notice he says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Ralph Barton was a cartoonist. He left a note pinned to his pillow just before he took his life. He said, quote, I have had few difficulties, many friends, great successes. He said, I have gone from wife to wife, from house to house, visited great countries of the world, but I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day. He invested in time. And the game of investing in time was too much. He got tired of it. Many others, I'm sure, we know that have come to the same conclusion. So, allow me to give you several thoughts. How we plan for eternity. How do we plan for eternity? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James in chapter number 4? James chapter number 4. How do we plan for eternity? Hebrews James. Hebrews James. James chapter 4. Verse 14. Many of you have read this verse before. If not, it's a great verse to meditate on. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? What is my life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Notice, little time. So the emphasis is, we're not majoring on the little time. We should major on the timeless time, if that makes any sense. We major little on the time, which is a little, James says, Paul writes. But we don't major on, or we major on eternity, which cannot be measured. You know not what your life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So number one, planning for eternity. This is simple, but just I'm praying that we can meditate on it. Realize life is short. And no material goods go with us. when we die. This is planning for eternity. This is what we must think about. Life is short, and I take nothing with me. Turn quickly, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Paul writing to his son in the faith. Life is short, I take nothing with me. First Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Here it is. For we brought nothing into this world. Whenever you were born, whatever day it was, it was just you. It didn't even have the clothes on your back, okay? Birthday suit. God says when we leave, it is certain we can carry nothing out. Isn't that something? You know, can I just... I'm preaching to the pastor this morning. I'll just tell you that right now. But knowing I've known that verse for so many years of my life, and yet I wonder how much of my 51 years plus, maybe obviously not my infancy, but when I got old enough to start thinking and making more decisions on my own, I wonder how much of my time I have wasted knowing that I can carry nothing out. And also knowing that those things that we send ahead, whether it be financial or whether it be people that we give the gospel to, we don't know they get saved, but they may get saved. We give to the missionaries. People are getting saved all over the world. Praise the Lord for that. And yet we know that as believers, and we come to a verse like this and we read it and it says it is certain, it is certain. There's a lot of uncertainties in the world, isn't there? A lot. But there's a certainty right there. I'm not taking anything out. When this old heart stops beating, and that's it, I'm not taking anything with me. No financial things will go with me in the sense of whatever's in the bank. It's going to stay there for somebody else. And God even said that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't save. That's not the point. The point is, as with Christians today, number one, planning for eternity is realizing whatever time we have, it's a vapor and nothing goes with us. In the last week, I have read or known about, this is just me, little old me. I read about an infant passing away. I read about a young lady in her 20s dying of cancer. Of course, I was at the bedside of our dear brother Ramon, almost 68. I'm just one life that read these things, and you've read these things in your life too. Here's the thought. Planning for retirement is wise, but ignoring eternity is disastrous. Can you imagine if someone works 30, 40, 50, I don't know how many, however many years, and they have this amazing retirement plan, but they don't know Christ. They don't know Christ. They live a good moral life even. They try to be kind to people. They never try to say a bad word. They never try to be mean to someone. I mean, they live a really good moral life, but we know that the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can you imagine that person that's got all this stuff in order, everything's in order, maybe owns one or two places or whatever it may be. Nothing wrong with that. But the point is, it's so sad that so many would be involved in that and then take their last breath and be in eternal punishment forever. Because they never knew Christ. My friend, you know Christ. And I know Christ. If you're saved here this morning, you know the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. This isn't scary to me. Death is just an entrance into eternal life. I have eternal life today, yes. But there'll be a day when this old heart stops or the Lord returns. And I'm ready. I'm ready for that day. I'm not saying take me now, but I'm ready for that day. I have confidence in the Lord that my eternal destination is secure in Christ. What about yours? It doesn't matter how much of your time is secure. What about eternity? And then to us as believers, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to get the word out that there is hope. We take nothing with us. Oh, but if we can get involved in the work of the Lord, and we can be involved in the work of the Lord actively, prayerfully, givingly. I know that's probably not even a word, but we can be involved in the work of the Lord. We're sending things ahead to heaven. Oh, I think I can say this lovingly. I'm not trying to be unkind, but when you see somebody die, even that knows the Lord, as a pastor, I have the opportunity, and I think it's a privilege to be at someone's bedside, and everyone's bedside that I've been at knew the Lord. And yes, there's grieving, and yes, there's weeping, and yes, there's crying, and all of that. But you know where that individual is. And so, on one hand, there's a bit of a great loss, thank you. And on the other hand, you're like, well, you know, we don't want you coming back here. We know where you are. But it really makes you think about time. That honestly, everyone here could go to bed tonight. I'm not trying to be spooky or mean or unkind, but you could go to bed tonight and wake up in eternity. Good. Point is, are you ready? You don't get ready for eternity by giving to the church or getting baptized. You get ready to the church through Jesus Christ. Turn to John 14. Many of you could quote it with me. Please, turn to John 14. John 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God." Verse 1, "Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not told so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thomas saith to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Where are you going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, can't make it any clearer, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But by me. Number two has to do with this. I kind of got ahead of myself. Number two, planning for eternity. If you have yet to, today, receive God's gift of eternal life, this is how you prepare for eternity. John 3:16. Some of you could quote it and in a different language other than me. Hallelujah. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Eternal life. Eternity with God, with the believers, with the Lord Jesus. I'm prepared for eternity today. There was a time in my life where somebody explained the back of this track, not this track, but the message of the gospel. And they explained the message of the gospel to me. And something in my heart stirred and said, "You need to be saved. You're a sinner. You have no hope without Christ." And I gave my heart, if you will, to the Lord Jesus, to God through the Jesus. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. That was over 40 years ago for me. And every day is a new day of learning about God and His goodness and His grace. But I'm ready for eternity. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for the rapture. I'm ready for eternity. I'm ready for this body to die if it die, when it dies. I'm ready. This is how we prepare for eternity. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, can we look at that together? Many of these verses we know. We even gave them a couple weeks ago. Romans 6:23, we're emphasizing time. We said earlier that James said our time is little. But then we're also emphasizing eternity. Look what Paul wrote in 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's eternity. So we have little time, but then we have eternity. And eternity in heaven is a gift. We cannot earn a gift. Would you turn to John 3? Please. We cannot earn it. Our dear brother entered the presence of the Lord on Tuesday, less than a week ago. He entered the presence of the Lord. That's just still hard for me to put that in reality. That his time ended. Ramon's time ended. Think about this. There's nothing else he can do with time. It's done. His time is done. But he's already experiencing eternity. Wow. I mean, hallelujah. Just tells us, let's not be like the rich man who said, look what I have. God said, thou fool, this night. Look what it says in John 3. Jesus is having a conversation with a ruler of the Jews. His name is Nicodemus. In verse number 3, Jesus says to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I ask you this morning, have you been born again? This is not a physical birth, this is a spiritual birth. This is not coming into church. This is not getting baptized by immersion. This is not rubbing beads. This is not praying to a false god. This is not chanting or whatever you can come up with. This is not, you know, even reading the Bible faithfully for every day, for a year, that I'm going to go to heaven because of that. No, there isn't anything within you and within me that can get us born again. Except... by faith, asking God, would you please save my sinful soul? I believe Jesus is your son, that he died, was buried, and rose again for me, and I accept him as my Savior. And when you do that by faith, immediately you are born again. You are born again of the Spirit of God. And you're ready for eternity. Number one, life is short. We can take nothing with us. Number two, receive God's gift of eternal life. And number three, remember now who made you. Remember now. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, please. Preparing for eternity. Remember now who made you. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Ecclesiastes 12. It's the last chapter right before the Song of Solomon. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Notice, while the evil days come not, there's time. Days. "Nor the years draw nigh." There's time. "When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Pastor, what are you saying? When we remember who our Creator is, when we remember who made us, when we remember who saved us, when we remember what He's done for us, it will affect our life. It will affect the little time, but it will prepare more for eternity. Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created." All things, and for thy pleasure they are, and were created. I didn't evolve, I was created. In the image of Almighty God, I have a body, soul, and spirit, just like we have Father, Son, and Spirit. Created in the image of God, and so were you. And the quicker that we remember everything that we are and that we have is because of our Heavenly Father, I owe everything to Him. And I ask us this morning, how are we fulfilling Revelation 4:11? How are we bringing glory to Him? How are we investing in eternity? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus, great Sermon on the Mount. Am I ready to enter eternity? The rich man in our text, Luke 12, was not ready. God said, "This night." Eventually, this night will come for all of us unless the Lord returns. It will come for all of us. I'm imploring you. I cannot grab you by the arm and twist it spiritually, but I'm imploring you with the love of God. I don't have the love of God. Because of God's love, I'm imploring you. Whether you're saved or unsaved, both of us need to prepare for eternity. But if you don't know Christ, you're in great need today. You're in greater need than someone who knows Christ, because if this night is tonight, and you leave without Christ, there's no coming back. There's no coming back. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Boast not thyself of tomorrow. What is that time? "For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." What is that time? Time is, it's gone. Again, some of you are more mature than me, and you can look back on your life and you can think, "I can't believe I'm this age." Folks, I can't believe I'm 51. I can't believe it. See, time, it's gone. That part of time. So what must I do? I must redeem time. I don't want to sit around and get all whatever about what I've wasted. Maybe I need to confess something to the Lord. I'm not saying that. But you know what I need to do? I have today. I have this little breath of today. 24 hours. And half of it is almost gone. It's almost noon. My stomach is telling me, okay? It's time, right? We live by time. My stomach is on clockwork, by the way. It's just got a, it's got a clock. Boom, okay, it's hungry. No, just kidding. But we do. We live by time. God doesn't have a watch. Oh, many times I've thought, God, you know what time it is? It's time to heal. It's time to comfort. It's time to save. It's time, God. And God's got so much way beyond what I think is time. God says, no, Ben. In my time, in my way, he doesn't have time, in my way, I'll meet the need. You be faithful, Ben. You be faithful, Jose. You be faithful, Kevin. You be faithful, Donna. You be faithful, Dorothy. You be faithful, church. My will is best. Some say this life is the only thing that matters. Some say we live, then we die. But I'm convinced that eternity awaits. So with every breath, I will testify. I believe God. I believe His word is true. For I've seen what He can do. When I call upon His name, I believe God. So let the world say what they will. I will choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe God. Time or eternity? Let's all look in the mirror today. Maybe we need to change some things about our time. It's little. Don't waste it. Invest it in eternity.